Dear listeners of Radio Maria Canada, welcome to our program, The Power of the Rosary, from Toronto and hosted by Reno. It's a program where we share the good news of praying the Holy Rosary when we invite Mary, our Heavenly Mother, and recite her favorite prayer. She promises her protection, guidance, and solutions to the problems that plague our lives. Let's pay attention to the joyful news of help and comfort. Welcome.
Ave Regina della pace, Ave Madre dell'amor. Ave Regina della pace, Ave Madre dell'amor. Ave.
Good day and welcome to all our Radio Maria listeners. Today we continue with the theme on the power of the Holy Rosary. This is the third episode of this program. In the last episodes, we introduced the enormous power that this heavenly prayer commands and is so desired by Our Lady and associated with countless graces for those who pray it devoutly. We recall that the Rosary was a prayer given by Our Lady of St. Dominic Guzman in 1214 in order to fight and quench the Albigensian heresy that was so widespread in France at the time. The Albigensians were a very influential heretical sect and taught that all matter is evil, and that man, although created by God, was essentially pushed into a material body by an evil, superior being. They also believed that adultery, fornication, and suicide were worthy of praise. In addition, there was no heaven, no hell, and no moral code. Our Lady said to St. Dominic, "Know that the strongest weapon is the Rosary, the foundation of the New Testament. For this reason, if you want to win those hardened hearts to God, preach my rosary." Through the power of the rosary, St. Dominic overwhelmed the enemy with graces and conversions, thus wiping out the heresy, never to be heard from again.
Similarly, we also receive abundant graces when we recite the Holy Rosary and meditate on its mysteries on the life of our Savior and His Holy Mother Mary. When we recite the Rosary, we honor the Most Holy Trinity for the great privileges granted to the Virgin, which are power, wisdom, and love. This is where the strength and benefits of the Rosary derive from. We recall the words given by Our Lady to Sister Lucia dos Santos, the seer of Fatima, who died on February 13, 2005, where she calls the Rosary the weapon for our times and tells us, "The Father has given in recent times in which we live a new efficacy to the recitation of the Holy Rosary, and that there is no problem, however difficult, of a material or especially spiritual nature that cannot be solved by this prayer. There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult, neither personal, nor family, nor national, nor international problem that cannot be resolved with the Rosary." On the last episode, we also read the important message given by Our Lady of Medjugorje on June 12, 1986, to Maria, one of the visionaries, where she tells us, "Dear children, today I invite you to start saying the rosary with living faith, so I can help you. You, dear children, you wish to receive graces, but do not pray. I cannot help you, since you do not wish to move. Dear children, I invite you to pray the rosary. May the rosary be a commitment for you to carry out with joy, so you will understand why, so long with you, I wish to teach you to pray. Thank you for having responded to my call."
The saints always made the meditation of our Lord's life the principal object of their study, meditating on his virtues and his sufferings in order to arrive at a Christian perfection. And religious vocations are also called to imitate them. In a similar way, the religious vocations, the lady should also aim to meditating on the life and virtues of our Lord, which are so beautifully contained in the mysteries of the Holy Rosary. The Rosary, which contained the principal events of the life of our Lord Jesus and his Mother Mary, guides the faithful to meditate on his life, his virtues, and his glory. It is a blessed blending of mental and vocal prayer by which we honor Jesus and Mary, and thus it becoming the most requested prayer of Our Lady. It is imperative to pray it as to gain her help for our own good, for the good of our families, and for all of humanity.
When we pray the rosary, we offer a beautiful bouquet of roses to Our Lady, and she, in turn, also gives beautiful gifts back to us. There is always a miracle hidden in every rosary. The more we believe and pray it out of love for her, the more she fills our hearts with heavenly gifts. Some messages from Our Lady that touch on the rosary and its promises follow. She says, "Hold on to the rosary. Just one simple rosary can and will obtain miracles in the world and in your life. When you, dear children, simply hold the rosary chain in your hands, it is a sign to Satan that you belong to me, and the rosary should not simply be an ornament for your house. Tell everyone to pray it." We know that each Hail Mary is a flower, a rose from my children, given as a gift to me, and I love very much. The rose that I so love are the prayers from your hearts, and not just from your lips. Your roses are prayers made with faith and love. When my son Jesus was small, he would tell me that many of my children would bring me many roses. At that time, I did not understand, but now I know that it is you, my children, that bring me roses, especially when you love my son. When you pray with your heart, when you help the poor, these are the roses that I especially desire. The most beautiful thing is to see a man on his knees praying the rosary. I tell you that those rosary beads are much more powerful than a nuclear bomb.
In each Marian apparition in the last century, Our Lady has always requested that the rosary be prayed often. In fact, at Lourdes in 1858, the Virgin had a long rosary hanging on her arm and prayed the rosary together with Bernadette. And in 1917, in Fatima, as in more recent years in Medjugorje, Our Lady always invites and exhorts the faithful to pray the rosary often and even daily, because in these perilous times, our world needs this weapon to combat the evil that surrounds us. St. Paul, in the Gospel of Timothy, explicitly warns us when he says, "In the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, unloving, unforgiving, and brutal." Does this not describe what we are all facing around us and on a global scale? Are we not in the same condition as in the days of Noah, when the earth was filled everywhere with violence? In our homes as entertainment, in our schools, in our streets, Wherever we look, we are confronted with escalating violence, war, and corrupted morality that would have never been tolerated just a few decades ago.
Now we have been given the weapon, the rosary, that we can use to combat these evils, and we must use it forcefully and appropriately. Saint Padre Pio called the rosary the arm for our times and encouraged his spiritual children to pray it and widely spread this prayer. He said, "Spread at all times, children, the prayer of the Holy Rosary. It is a scourge on the demons who flee chaotically when it is prayed with faith. The power of the Holy Rosary makes hell tremble when it is recited with faith and in a group. Be missionaries of the Holy Rosary and consecrate yourselves to the Immaculate Heart of our beloved Mother Mary." Saint Louis de Montfort, a great warrior and champion of the Rosary, in his classic book, The Secret of the Rosary, guides us on why and how we should pray the Rosary. He tells us that this prayer is a means of great perfection and must be useful not only for priests and other religious, but also for the laity. He lists 7 reasons to persuade us to embrace this devotion of praying the Rosary.
They are, first, it raises us to the perfect knowledge of Jesus Christ. Second, it purifies our souls from sin. Third, it makes us victorious over all our enemies. Fourth, it facilitates the practice of the virtues. Fifth, it inflames us with the love for Jesus. Sixth, it enriches us with graces and merits. And finally, the seventh, it provides us with the means to pay all our debts to God and man, and finally gets all sorts of graces for us. This book was written around 1710. Tells us that the rosary is shrouded in great mystery and power, detailing its many characteristics. It recounts the many wonders and graces worked by God in favor of those who pray it daily.
More recently, a similar powerful book called Champions of the Rosary, written by Father Donald H. Calloway, has been published, in which the author recounts events related to the Rosary that have taken place in more recent times. Like Saint Louis, he says, "Today, people must know that there is a weapon capable of fighting and conquering immorality and evil. The Holy Rosary is a spiritual weapon that produces extraordinary wonders in the history of peoples and in the life of the people who pray it." He further writes that the rosary is a celestial sword forged by the hand of the divine maker and has the power to kill dragons, convert sinners, and win hearts. The blade of this sword was forged in the fire of the living word of God. The hammer of divine inspiration defined its shape, and once completed, it was entrusted to the Queen of Heaven and her chosen ones. When this sword was finally ready for use in battle, and the Divine Maker had determined that the time had come to draw it, the Queen of Heaven revealed it to the world, choosing the holy preacher, Saint Dominic, as the knight to wield it.
She invested him with the power of the divine sword, instructing him to preach it far and wide to anyone and to all who desires to wield it. The Virgin Mary, appearing to Saint Dominic in supporting his in his fight against the Albigensians, addressed him with these words: "Do not be surprised if so far you have obtained so little fruit from your labors. You have lavished your strength on an arid ground, not yet irrigated by the dew of divine grace. When God decided to renew the face of the earth, He sent the fertilizing rain of the angelic greeting. You, therefore, preach my Psalter." The friar understood the power of the rosary with the recitation of the Hail Mary, combined with the contemplation of the main mysteries of the life of Christ. It constituted a direct response to the error spread by the Albigensians, because these mysteries focused on the Incarnation, on the Passion, and on the glorious triumph of her divine Son. Similarly, our times, with the unprecedented conflicts of two world wars, a Cold War, the fall of Nazism, fascism, communism, terrorism, and so many other wars with hundreds of millions of people falling victim to these conflicts and ideologies.
This world and this generation might be savvy in science and technology, but it is truly lacking in humility, lacking in love, and lacking in faith. Everyone seems to be constantly distressed and offended. These are very unhealthy emotions and almost to the point of being diabolical. Common sense and logic is a foregoner. These are morbid and unhealthy emotions that we must fight. This incessant call of Our Lady to pray the rosary, especially in our times, is truly alarming and should make us redouble our efforts. However, we must not be discouraged and must put Our Lady's call into serious practice by taking up the recitation of the rosary as a direct response to the errors and evils of our day and as an evangelizing tool, just like St. Dominic did with the Albigensians. Our prayers in the hands of Our Lady will work wonders and perhaps make a difference as to pave the way and speed up the coming of Jesus in his second coming. We will now take a short break. Then we will resume with our theme on the power of the Holy Rosary.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Let it be, whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. Let it be. Let it be.
Welcome back. We will now hear two stories that lead us to learn more about the power of the rosary to protect and help us to solve the problems we encounter in our lives. While we tell the story of a World War II bombing of Hiroshima, Japan, we invite our listeners to prepare a testimony on the power of the rosary and want to share with other listeners and to mail it either by regular mail or electronic mail to Radio Maria Canada here in Toronto. Please include Power of the Rosary as part of the address, and we will read them in one of the next episodes. We remind you that the reason in sharing these personal stories is to increase our faith and to pray the rosary more frequently and even daily. The first story is about some priests who were saved from the fury of the atomic bomb unleashed on Hiroshima in Japan in 1945. The source of this story comes from the Catholic Herald website in the United Kingdom.
August 6th is the day the Church commemorates the transfiguration of our Lord on Mount Tabor, and it is an important date in the history of the world. It is the day that the first atomic bomb in the history of the world was dropped on Hiroshima, Japan. It was Monday, August 6, in 1945, when, at 8:15 a.m., an American B-29 bomber named Enola Gay dropped the atomic bomb named Little Boy from a predetermined detonation height of about 1,900 meters for maximum destruction above the city of Hiroshima. The bomb exploded with a blinding flash, creating a gigantic ball of fire that vaporized virtually everything and everyone within a radius of about 1 mile from the point of impact. It was estimated that about 80,000 people were instantly killed by the blast, and by the end of that year, the figure had become significantly higher due to the effects of radiation, and over two-thirds of the city's buildings were completely destroyed.
But in the midst of this terrible carnage, something extraordinary happened. There was a small community of Jesuit fathers who lived in a presbytery near the church, located less than a mile away from the detonation point, well inside the radius of the devastation zone. All 8 members of this religious community escaped virtually unscathed from the effects of the bomb. The presbytery remaining standing, while the surrounding buildings, almost as far as the eye could see, were totally flattened. Father Hubert Schaefer, a 30-year-old German Jesuit and one of the survivors of the explosion, told this story in the 1976 Eucharistic Congress held in Philadelphia. He said all 8 members of the Jesuit community who had lived through the ordeal were still alive and in good health at that time. On August 6, 1945, after celebrating Mass in the early morning, he sat down in the rectory kitchen for breakfast when there was a bright flash of light. He thought it might have been an explosion in the nearby harbor, since Hiroshima was home to many military structures. Perhaps a mishap might have taken place, but almost immediately realized the extraordinary nature of the event.
He said, "A terrifying explosion filled the air with a frightening burst. An invisible force lifted me from my chair, threw me through the air, shook me, battered, and spun me around like a leaf in a gust of wind." He got up from the ground and looked around, but he saw nothing in any direction that he was facing. Everything had been devastated. He had a few fairly mild aches, nothing serious, and in fact, after the tests performed by American military doctors, the scientists showed that neither he nor his companions had suffered any negative effects from the damage of the radiation or the bomb. Together with his fellow Jesuits, Father Schaefer believed that they survived because of their devotion to the Blessed Mother and the daily Fatima Rosary. A protective shield from the Blessed Mother protected them from all radiation and ill effects. This coincides also with the bombing of the city of Nagasaki. 3 days later, on August the 9th, where the second atomic bomb was dropped. The Franciscan Friary, founded by St. Maximilian Kolbe in Nagasaki, was also protected by the Blessed Mother, sustaining no ill effects from the bomb. Here, the brothers also prayed the rosary daily.
There is actually a biblical precedent for what happened to both the Jesuits and the Franciscans in chapter 3 of the book of Daniel. We read of the three young men who were thrown into the fire furnace at the orders of King Nebuchadnezzar and survived the ordeal even after being surrounded by flames but being protected by an angel. Another strange parallel between the events in Japan and the apparitions of Fatima in 1917 when the apparitions of Fatima ended with the miracle of the sun. On October 13, 1917, around 70,000 people saw the sun swirl and change color in the sky before falling to earth in a terrifying way. Many of those present thought it was the end of the world, but the sun resumed its place in the sky amid great cries of relief.
Here in Japan, everyone also thought it was the end of the world. But a handful of people living the message of Fatima survived the terrible ordeal with no ill effects. We thank Our Lady for the protection she provides when we invoke her intercession through the power of the rosary. We thank her for granting this testimony so that we too might be convinced and make use of this power in our life by reciting the rosary every day. A second example on the power of the rosary comes to us from a young man, a university student from the city of Toronto, and how he was protected from a devastating car accident. This is his story.
He says, "For several years, I was tired and bored of working in factories where the work was mindless, repetitive, and tiring. So I decided to better my life and began to study at home, alone, to prepare for attending university someday. Since I always enjoyed mathematics, I studied it in all my spare time, mostly alone. The summer of 1978, I felt well prepared and enrolled in continuing education at the University of York. And thereafter commenced taking evening classes at Glendon College campus in Toronto. The Glendon campus site is located at the intersection of Bayview Avenue and Lawrence Avenue in Toronto, which is very central to the city and very busy traffic-wise. The first two mathematics courses that I actually enrolled in were advanced calculus and differential equations."
These courses were held every evening from Monday to Thursday during the months of May to August. In those days, I was living with my family on Caledonia Road, which is near Lawrence Avenue in the west end of the city. So every evening, after returning from work and having dinner, I would drive my car for the evening classes, which started at 7 p.m. To 10 p.m. The night of the incident, I took the car and drove east on Lawrence Avenue in order to reach Bayview Avenue in order to attend classes at the said campus. As usual, I would have gone through several major traffic arteries to reach Bayview Avenue, where I would park the car in the school parking lot at the bottom of the ravine, climb the steep hill, and go to class for lessons. However, that particular evening in question became a very different evening from all the others. But before continuing with the story, let me step back about 2 weeks prior to tell you about a dream I had, because it will clarify the story somewhat. About 2 weeks before this incident, something extraordinary happened to me. As you may well know, back in the 70s, car radios were an add-on to any vehicle. So naturally, as a student and short on funds, my car was missing the radio.
That day, I was driving alone on the 401 East to a friend's place in Crescent Town in Scarborough. And as usual, I was singing one of my favorite songs for entertainment purposes. As I crossed the Leslie Street overpass on the 401, unexpectedly and out of the blue, I found myself praying the rosary. for reasons that I have never been able to explain, especially since I had not attended church for many years. I was startled, surprised, and confused, with no inkling of why or how it happened. But for some unknown reason, I could not stop praying the rosary, and I actually found the whole experience compelling, mysterious, and enjoyable. I was completely subdued, but continued to pray the whole rosary. And from that day, I believe to have prayed the rosary every day, never missing even one day. Nonetheless, the following night, while sleeping soundly at home, I had a very bad dream, perhaps better called a horrible nightmare.
In the dream, I was driving alone in the car and became involved in a catastrophic accident, resulting in unspeakable damage and injuries. The dream compelled me to scream so loud that the whole house woke up. Both my mother and sister quickly ran to my room to see what had happened. I told them about that cursed dream, but naturally, it was concluded that it was a nightmare and to go back to sleep and forget about it. However, I was deeply shaken and gravely disturbed because it seemed so real and was so involved in it. With great difficulty, I tried to dispel the dream and not dwell on it, but didn't sleep at all that night. And now, back to the present, which would be 2 weeks later, after the awful nightmare, as we continue the story. It was a Wednesday evening at the beginning of July 1978, around 6:20 p.m., and I was on my way to night school at Glendon College. As usual, I took Lawrence Avenue eastbound, past Dufferin Street, past Bathurst Street, and reached Spadina Road with no problems. But as I crossed the Spadina Road intersection, I immediately started to feel an immense heaviness, and a truly frightful feeling enveloped my being.
The pressure and the imminent danger was now overwhelming. In spite of these frightful feelings, I continued driving east towards the college, but impending doom kept growing incessantly. I crossed Duplex Road, which is one stoplight and one block before Young Street, but the menacing heaviness was now unbearable. I was now extremely agitated. It became worse as I continued driving east. As I approached the intersection of Young Street and Lawrence Avenue, I recalled vividly that threatening dream I had had just a few days earlier with its devastating consequences. When I approached the intersection, I saw that I had a green light and therefore could proceed freely, but somehow I had to stop, was compelled to stop. In fact, could not proceed through the intersection.
Some greater force or someone compelled and forced me to stop. I stopped the vehicle on the white lines before fully entering the intersection. Even though the light was green, I simply couldn't go through and had to stop. I looked to the left, which would be on the north side, and saw a large American car moving very fast southbound on Young Street, far above the speed limit of 50 kilometers per hour. It ran the intersection through the red light. Had I not stopped the car, it would have hit me squarely on the driver's side with devastating and frightening consequences for me. No doubt, I would have died instantly on the spot. When I became fully aware of my situation, I noticed that there were no cars behind me, nor in front of me, nor next to me going eastbound, which was the direction in which I was traveling. Thus, no one could have forced me or enticed me in any way, perhaps by honking, to drive through the green light. And this all happening during rush hour. Immediately I shouted, "Oh my God!" fully aware that I had narrowly escaped dire consequences and possibly death and thus saved by a miracle. Perplexed, I wonder what just happened. Who kept me safe and responsible for averting this serious accident? Thinking for a long time, I'm fully convinced that the praying of the rosary that I had encountered just 2 weeks earlier, have protected and saved me.
Allow me to testify again that Our Lady and her rosary saved me that night from this great disaster. Heartfelt thanks, our dear Heavenly Mother, for looking out and taking such good care of us. So we too should invite the Holy Virgin and her Rosary to be part of our life, to guide us on our earthly journey and follow in her footsteps. Our life will be sweeter under her watch and protection. The time is running short, so we thank our dear listeners for taking part in this program. I remind you to arrange testimonial stories on the power of the Rosary and send them via mail, regular or electronic, to Radio Maria Canada, and we will then share them with our listeners on future broadcasts. Address them with the power of the Rosary. We encourage our listeners to pray the Holy Rosary either in groups or alone, reminding of the victory that has been promised to us at a proper time. This is a promise we cannot dispute because it has been promised by our dear mother herself. We would like to acknowledge the contributors to this episode, which are Catholic Herald, Sir Emmanuel Maillard, NC Register, found on the internet. The time at our disposal has ended. We, Reno and Julie, from Radio Maria Canada, wish you a good day. We ask God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with Mother Mary to bless us and keep us safe now and always. Ciao, ciao. Ciao.
We thank our dear listeners of Radio Maria Canada for having welcomed us into their homes. Let's make an appointment for next week at the same time when we continue with the power of the Rosary. Ciao. Della pace.